Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few black-owned radio networks that explores solutions for issues in the black community. Presents Black Urban America. I know all you folks are listening by laptops. If you have a question or comment, you may dial 516-531-9540 and press 1. Lineup, of course, Tuesday, we have Black Urban America. I'm your host, and my name is Kenny Jones. Every second Tuesday, we have Emma Young from Chicago with a guest appearance. Every third Tuesday, which is tonight, we have the hardworking, groundbreaking, in your face, Ms. Beverly Williams, Advocate of Milwaukee. That's what I call it, the Advocate of Milwaukee. And she's a true soldier, too. On Saturdays, we have Ivanka Thought. I call to sleep, or programs begin at 8 p.m. Now, tonight we're going to be talking about a sensitive topic, and now I'm going to bring on Ms. Williams. And it's your guest. It's going to be Mr. Anderson. And I just want to say a little something about this before I turn the show over to Ms. Bell. You think the police force in this country has learned police officers are starting to be held accountable? They start be, it may not be a whole lot, but if they get enough exposure, they're going down. And when are we going to be treated? When we get pulled or are we being questioned? Just like any other citizen in the United States. They don't treat up or shoot down Asians. I might be a little wrong for saying they don't do that for the city. The only culture they do that is black and brown. You think they learn at the joyful? And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a black man. And they've been doing this since I was a kid. This is something that's happened in the last 10, 15 years. They've been doing this, let's say, historically. My father, my grandfather. So we're going to bring on Ms. Williams and Mr. Anderson. Take it away. It's your show, Ms. Williams. Go ahead.
Good evening, Black Urban America, and good evening, Mr. Jones and Mr. Anderson. I'm privileged tonight to have Mr. Reuben Anderson on, who is a community advocate. He has his own group called the Audit Group, the Audit Accountability Group. He has also worked with the Legal Redress Committee with the NAACP and done a lot of work in our community as far as citizens, especially citizens who have dealt with police brutality. And these cases have been reported in the media one way, but then he has connections and close ties with speaking with the Milwaukee County DA, Chisholm, and also members of the Milwaukee Police Department and CIs, which are, I would gather, are people who kind of help the police possibly. And he's going to talk about that tonight. Now, before we talk to Mr. Anderson, I just want to give Black Urban America an update on a few things that are happening in Wisconsin. The first topic would be Milwaukee Public Schools. They continue their corruption under the radar of the Milwaukee community. Tonight, they're having a board meeting right now talking about an audit. And within this audit, they are talking about a fake teachers program, whereas paras were supposed to get their teacher certification through this MPS university, and basically the university was fake. It was not certified. It was not legal, and they stole their money. So that's in the audit tonight. They also are not paying a lot of their contracts, although they have over $2.5 billion, $700 million of that being COVID funds, and they've only given schools and students $13.6 million of those funds. Because of the fact that the Milwaukee mainstream media, they are the ones who create the narrative. Most of the folks in our community do not know about these issues. They usually have the board meetings on one of the channels or two or three of the channels. Today they don't, because they're trying to hide all this mismanagement and corruption in MPS. Also getting off of MPS and getting into Kenosha, Wisconsin, where we have Judge Schrader or Schroeder or whatever his name is, the one who let Rittenhouse go, and the Kenosha Unified School District. We have a little girl, 12 years old, whereas an off-duty police officer stopped the fight, and although this girl is smaller than him, he put his knee on her neck. George Floyd's case meant nothing to these people. He put his knee on her neck, caused head injuries and neck injuries to this child. The officer is now off duty, and hopefully the parents have an attorney to look into this case for them. But tonight we have Ruben Anderson, as I said, and he is with the president of a group called the Audit Accountability Group. And he will discuss corruption primarily occurring in the district attorney's office. We have a district attorney by the name of Chisholm. He is disliked by African Americans and whites also because of what happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin, when someone was let out on a very low bail. This person was mentally disturbed and ran over many people, which was horrific for our state. And so they're calling for his removal, and also African Americans in our city are calling for his removal. He did not prosecute an officer by the name of Mensa when he killed Alvin Cole and Jay Anderson and Cole Blood. So these are the issues that are happening in Milwaukee, the most segregated, one of the most segregated cities in the nation. So right now, Mr. Anderson, are you on?
Oh, yeah, I'm listening to you. Go ahead. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, just fine. I'm glad you came on tonight. I know that you feel that the deaths of Quavante Moffitt, Jaheim Clark, who was the young man that they accused of killing a young child, a three-year-old child, by the name of Major, and his mother, and also Rodney Freeman, you believe that these these individuals are products of police brutality. Can you tell us a little bit more about your stance on these cases, and also let the community, or let the listeners, I should say, know more about your background?
Well, thank you, first of all. I praise God for the opportunity to be here this evening. My name is Ruben Anderson. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, originally there. I am the president and founder of the Audit Accountability Group. Let me explain to you a little bit about what we are all about and why this all came to be. The audit was established in January of this year, actually January 2nd of this year, in response to my disagreement with the NAACP, whom I had been partnering with at the time. I'm working on a few cases. It was determined that the NAACP wanted to go into a different direction rather than holding the district attorney accountable for his actions. So I decided to walk away from the NAACP after being with that organization for over, 18 years. I started out at the NAACP through Jerry Ann Hamilton, your mother, of course, my idol, and my mentor. and Mother Riley. Right. I was set to interview Ms. Hamilton at the NAACP as a project from MA2C. And the day that we met, it was just determined that I would just join her in this fight for, you know, civil rights and equal justice in the city of Milwaukee, primarily within the criminal justice system within Wisconsin. And so that's where that all came from, my background there. I currently work cases throughout the United States. I work with public defenders or paid lawyers, and I basically attend court hearings to tell their client's story. Many of these young men come from really sad backgrounds, and so I'm their voice for that. So God has opened up plenty of doors with that. So that's where I'm at with that. When it comes to, I heard the brother speaking earlier on John Chisholm and the criminal justice system as a whole, they have to come up under audit. I met John Chisholm and Kent Laverne, who is the chief district attorney for Milwaukee County. I was there with Mr. Fred Royal, who was the president at the time, and Clarence Nichols, to discuss what we found to be systemic practices within the criminal justice system, primarily coming out of his office. And so we went there, but the whole thing was messed up from the beginning. So I like to keep it real, family. I don't want to sugarcoat it. I want to keep it real as I can with you on this subject. When we got to the office, one of the things that we started talking about was a case involving one of my clients at this time. A young white male died. Jason Gietchel died of a heroin overdose. There was a nurse and there was a convicted drug dealer who was, they both were white. And so we went to John Chisholm because we felt that there was no string of custody. They were not being charged. The nurse was allowed to buy the dope, shoot him up with the dope, buy more dope, and give him some of her prescription medications. Okay. And they cleaned up the crime scene and they let them go. What my client received was death threats on his life as a result of what a detective had done. He had went to his source and told his source that he had told on him, and that put him in grave danger. So we wanted to discuss this with John Chisholm. We didn't go anywhere. They never even wrote down anything. He actually, when we walked in, I think it was in a compromise from the time we walked in. As we got there, John Chisholm looked at me and said, "Oh, this is about your son." So I knew that him and Fred had been talking. No, he's not my son. But the fact was you and Fred have had a conversation about this. So during the course of this conversation, I brought up the fact that I have a number of families who are still hurting behind their loved ones dying from drug overdoses, yet and still you're charging black people for white overdoses, but you're not investigating ours. John Chisholm looked me in my face, as well as my wife, as well as Fred Royal and Nicholas as well. And he said, "Those don't get investigated." And he smiled.
What?
There was no response to his, listen, yeah, you had to see how it felt for me to have to sit there and go through this. That's why I said we're going to keep it real tonight. You know, and so what they did is he pretty much let them, he let them punk them is what he did. He showed who was in control, you know, and it really, it messed up everything in our case. But anyway, after showing John Chisholm, they thought they were going to get away with it. They submitted to the court that my client had, you know, his heroin was responsible for this man's death. So I took I took the medical examiner's report, sent it out of state to get it checked out. Came back, it was inconclusive. You cannot determine how this man died. So I took it to Chisholm to let him know that his ADA, which is Daughtry. Now this gets interesting. She had submitted false and misleading evidence to the court in violation of Supreme Court rule. A lawyer representing a client shall not knowingly make false statement of material fact or law to a third person. You told the court that my client did this. First of all, you covered it up and you allowed these people to walk away and you left him here by himself. So that wasn't it. When I asked Chisholm about overdose deaths in our community, this is what he said.
Right.
Those don't get investigated. So that opened up a bigger investigation into John Chisholm.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Pardon me?
So that opens up a whole new can of worms right there.
Yeah, so I'm a praying man, so I spoke to the Lord about it. The Lord put it back in my spirit, brought it back to me. So I started communicating with Mr. Kent Laverne on all these topics, and primarily trying to also rescue Sean Moore, who is an activist in the city of Milwaukee. And I need to get this out there real quick. Sean Moore is currently on the run because Sean Moore was trying to clean up Atkinson Avenue. He knew corrupt police officers. The police in the 5th District got wind of what he was doing. They sent somebody to Sean to say that he had did a robbery and he had a bunch of guns, but the guy wouldn't do it. We got him on tape set talking about it. So Sean goes to Kent Laverne and says to Kent Laverne, the officers want to kill me. This guy is a witness to it. He leave his office. Kent Laverne called the detective, who is a highly decorated detective who sells dope in our community. But we'll get to that as well. And so he calls this man. Yeah, so the witness disappears off the street. Nobody can find him at all. So Sean is now fighting for his life for some, for a crime for which he is no more responsible for than the dark hue of his skin. They took a man who had ran into Sean's car and placed him, who was drunk, put him in the back of a squad car, let him sober up, and then, you know, that basically coached him into what these, you know, signing a statement against Sean. So we're up against that. But let me go into the cases that I'm following. You mentioned Rodney Freeman, Jr., out of Madison, Wisconsin, Dane County, Wisconsin. Rodney, young man, athletic, you know, you know, just regular young man. Intelligent, super intelligent young kid, got into a high-speed chase with police, supposedly. He runs through a fence and jumps out the car and proceeds to run. The next time we see Rodney, he's walking through a yard. Within an hour, they call off the police chase. 3 days later, Rodney's found in a lagoon.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're dealing with that. So the Dane County,
You're trying to find out what happened to him.
Well, no, we don't have to find out what happened. We already know what happened. You know, I can't really speak on that case a lot because that case is being investigated right now, really seriously investigated at this moment. But I will say this, that his death was the product of abuse, of course, and that was a straight-up murder. They killed that young man. And so we're in mid-April. We plan to be in Madison to discuss not only his case, but also the case involving John Chisholm, you know, destabilizing the black community by sending all these, you know, real hardcore snitches into the community, you know, that really work for him.
Can you talk a little bit about, more about that? Now, you're saying that John Chisholm is sending hardcore snitches into our community. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, most of the police officers they work on, let's go to the case of Marcus Hill. We'll go here. Marcus Hill was beaten by members of HIDA. They went to execute a warrant at his house. His uncle wanted the house that his dad died in. Marcus had been paying all the bills to the house that uncle wanted. He worked for members of HIDA. And so he went and told HIDA, now he had keys to this house. HIDA, they took Marcus to court. But the judge dismissed the charge right away simply because he felt that they were trying to move this man out of here illegally, so he let it go. A month later, the police come in and beat him for like 20 to 30 minutes based on what his girlfriend said, and she was butt naked on the floor watching. So the snitches, they have protection from Milwaukee Police Department. They put in work for them. That's what they do. You don't cooperate with Milwaukee Police, especially 5th District over there, if you don't cooperate with them, what they do is they drop your name in the street as being a snitch. And what happens, you see a lot of these deaths, these unexplained murders that's been happening. We believe that it's connected to those people as well. We just can't substantiate it right now. But we believe that a lot of the murders are a result of what they were doing based on what they did to my client. So snitches, they got their role. They stay out of jail card. John Chisholm knows this. I heard you speak on the situation over in Waukesha. I totally agree with you on this fact that he was mentally distorted and mentally disturbed. John Chisholm knew this, though, because they've had contact with this man in the past. They knew, you know, what would happen if they released that man into the community. Now, I don't say that John Chisholm released him. I say that Kent Laverne released him because to Kent Laverne, this is just all a big joke. This is just a big old, you know, it's like a big show for him, you know, and having, you know, it ain't no different to him having a DA that they pay just to prosecute black men and give other white people a pass. So this is a game to these guys. So they utilize everything that is, you know, everything available to them and everybody available to them to keep the black community destabilized, because as long as it's destabilized, people are going to jail. They're eating. See, we're their meal tickets, and they know this. But let me go on to these deaths a little bit here, if you don't mind, and talk to you a little bit about. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. Hopefully you can hear me. My understanding with the case, what I've been hearing with the case in Waukesha and the man who's mentally unstable is that the police were warned, the police in Waukesha were warned that this man was trying to possibly commit suicide or something, and they did not take any action. And then, you know, the situation, the horrific situation occurred. Now, we will see if this really is true and if it does come out in court. But that's similar to the situation in Kenosha when the police knew that Rittenhouse and his people were there trouble, and they were literally pushing the protesters toward them, and you knew that that there were not any police anywhere around, you know, when Rittenhouse killed the three people that he killed. So I don't know. I mean, these things, you know, what you're saying sounds very real. Sounds very real. Mm-hmm. But go ahead with what you're going to say.
You know, there are two distinct criminal justice systems. There are two different kinds of criminal justice systems here in America. There is, and we realize that, you know, that we're always going to be treated to a different form of punishment than anybody else. When it comes to this young man, I'm gonna say this, and I want you to understand where I'm coming from. I had 2 weeks before he did this, I got the email. I'll send it to you. I wrote Kent Laverne because he was trying to step away from this his responsibility to address this, you know, systemic racism coming out of his office. And I said to him, I said, you know what, you're gonna keep playing with God. And all that prestige and everything else and all that honor bestowed upon you and John, it's going to come into question. And not, what, a week and a half, a week and a half later, dude went out there and did all that. So, you know, and as far as, and see, that was meant for us, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? But, you know, in my opinion, I just like to look at things for what it is. It was turned back on them, you know, and it's just how it was. But I want to, if I can move on just a little bit here, I want to tell you about just about a couple of these cases real quick that are personal. One with Kevante Moffitt. You know, if anything else don't come out of here, he died in police custody. They'll never own up to the fact that the possibility that the picture that I sent to you, that you, I believe that you have access to, that his eye was swollen, that there's a big gouge in his face. I've since had doctors explain that to me, how that could potentially happen, but nobody can explain to me about the supreme dereliction of duty, because Kevante's best friend, who was there with them, the guy that was there every day with him throughout his life, said to me in an interview, he said they knew that he needed to go to the doctor. He told them when he came back, take me somewhere, I'm shaking too bad. And the officer
Mr. Anderson, if you can tell the audience about the case of Kevante Moffitt before you go into more detail.
Okay. Kevante Moffitt was, he died in police custody after a traffic stop. He was pulled over coming from the south side. They alleged that he swallowed, he ingested drugs. The medical examiner said that there were drugs found in his stomach. She told me that, Anne Marie. But what happened, the family, it was kind of suspicious because they said that he had a seizure and died. He died from a seizure, and that they did everything they could to help him, but they never gave him the proper medical attention that he desired. He went to St. Francis. See, he left us a clue in his pocket. In St. Francis, they medically cleared him and showed us vitals and things. Everything looked really good, but they knew that he had ingested these drugs. He had told them. And so they did not keep him, but rather they do what they do. If you're in jail, we're going to send you back. And that's what they did to him. And he ultimately died. I personally think that there was some confrontation between him and the police in the booking room after he returned. And here's something that you need to look at. If you guys go back and look at the last release from Milwaukee Police Department, they showed Kevante getting out of his car. There was a beautiful shirt that he had on. I can't get it out of my – very colorful. I can't get it out of my head. So, but when they took him, they say he continued on in the booking process. He had on a black shirt and a black jacket. And I've been knowing this man all his life, and the voice that came across was not even his. And the guy was
Mr. Anderson and Miss Williams.
Yes.
You have a caller.
Yes.
Would you like to take a call?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Four, 4644, you're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for Mr. Anderson or Ms. Williams? Last four numbers, 4644. Welcome to Black Earth America. Okay, I guess they don't want to talk. They press one.
No, they like
right here.
Right, press one. Call, you can call back calling and press one.
No, no, she's still on there, but she don't want to say anything.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, good Lord, you can continue on, Mr. Anderson.
And so, yeah, that's where we were with Kevante Mafia. You know, they say he died in police custody. You know, the possibility that he could have had a seizure is great, but it's no greater than him being abused based on his based on the injuries. We were supposed to have the pictures that we have, the ones that I share with you. No one was supposed to have these pictures, but we received them through our friends. I just say in that situation, we have Mr. Norman, who has just become police chief. You know, and I would say that very clearly that, you know, he's already doing what we expected him to do, and that's just to be a police and not to be a real man and stand on these people for what they're doing. When we talk about Jaheim Clark, they say that Jaheim Clark killed himself at 4 p.m. We know now that at 1 o'clock that the neighbor was out, one of the neighbors was out there taking care of his yard. There was a huge police presence out there. We know that they let him in through the back door. We know that he was in a fetal position. So sometimes when you're in a fetal position, you know, you're not going to go there after you shoot yourself twice in the head for what they claim he did.
Mr. Anderson, because of the fact that all over the nation – because this is a national program, folks do not know who Jaheim Clark is. Possibly you can give them a background on Jaheim Clark.
I'm thinking we strictly Milwaukee. My bad on that. I'm so sorry about that.
All over the country.
Jaheim Clark was implicated, was a suspect in the abduction of Major, Malister, last name Malister to that sort. But anyway, Mallory was killed and so was her son. And there was an Amber Alert issue. Police got wind that Jaheim Clark was in possession of the child and he possibly killed both of them. So there was a manhunt.
Right, the child, just so the audience knows, this story did make national news. Major Harris, he was 3 years old, biracial, and his mother was Caucasian. And supposedly, she was from up north in Wisconsin. Up north in Wisconsin is primarily white because Wisconsin is 6% black. But she was in the urban area. And supposedly they found her body, and then her son was missing. And they accused this young man, Jaheim Clark, of being the one who killed her son. And they said that he committed suicide. So now I'm going to let Mr. Anderson talk about what he thinks happened to Jaheim Clark. Okay, go on, Mr. Anderson.
All right, thank you. So as it has it, the police were there at 1:30 that afternoon. They didn't announce that he killed himself until 4 o'clock. What makes it crazy or suspicious is that, you know, he was found in a fetal position, of course. That's indicative that he was beat up. He was defending himself the way that they claim he was. And so there's been no arrest on this. There's been no arrest made in this thing. No accountability on behalf of police. What happened is that, once again, dealing with the district attorney, and this is why I'm going to come back to him in a second here, I approached the district attorney with the facts that we had and conversations, which was which basically lead us to believe that, even perhaps the father had something to do with the mother's death, but his hand, he didn't kill his son, but he facilitated the hand that actually did it. We know this to be true. We know he wasn't where he was when he said he was there. We know that Mallory, the white girl, was supposed to pick him up.
Mr. Anderson, you're talking about now the biological father who came into town, okay?
Yeah,
after,
yeah, we're talking about the biological, I forget these people don't know about it, but the biological father came into town all on television, first accusing the Milwaukee police of doing a sloppy job, et cetera. He then went on the Tory Lowe show and said, on another advocate show, and said, oh, I don't think that Jaheim killed the baby or, you know, or the mother. Well, we know that Carlton Harris, the father of Major's father, I should say, was wanted for harming the baby and the mother. So he had warrants out there. We know that Mallory had just taken out her 401k. She was easily manipulated, you know, and so she really thought that they could work it out. The big thing was he was on her bank account.
So now you're giving out information that I did not know, because you're saying now the father who came into town and was on TV, probably was on national TV also, angry with the Milwaukee police for not finding his son, you're saying that he had a record for abusing the mother and the child before?
He has outstanding warrants because of his abuse of this girl, you know. He already had warrants on him. So that's why he didn't go. Well, the father never even attended the baby's funeral. Never even went up there. Never even went to the gravesite.
Right. Then you stated that there is proof that the mother had taken out her 401k, possibly thinking that they would get back together.
That's right. There you go.
Also, you said, and she opened up a bank account with both of their names on it?
Yes. He's on the bank account. But let me just say this to you before I just lose track of this. At the end of the day, Milwaukee police know this. But if they go back and have to investigate everything, then they're going to have to justify how this boy really died. And there are people ready to come forward to deal with this. But Chisholm, they sort of closed the case and walked away from it. This is just what he does all the time.
Not only did Chisholm close the case, but right after you had posted this information on Facebook, Channel 12, the infamous Channel 12, who doesn't do anything but report a bunch of malarkey, they came on and said that the case was closed and there wasn't any other evidence to show that Jaheim Clark hadn't killed himself. But one thing that's interesting that you said was that something about 1:30 p.m. and 4:00 p.m.
Yeah,
there's a discrepancy
of time. Yeah, that's a lot of time. And if they were already there, then we know that they hadn't found the baby yet. So, you know, they already, they're taking care of their business. This is who they are. This is what they do.
What evidence is there that they were there at 1:30?
Well, the neighbor across the street from the home where Jaheim committed suicide is right there saying to everybody, listen, I was out here doing my yard at the time, working in my yard, and I saw a huge police presence, and it was at 1:30.
Okay, but then they reported that he was found dead at 4 o'clock?
Yeah, then they said at 4 o'clock. Remember, they said they heard two gunshots. But, you know, here's the thing with that also. You know, I mean, it's clear to us what really happened to Jaheim. We already know. But the fact is there's no accountability. It's clear to us what happened to Rodney Freeman. But once again, there's no accountability. It's clear to us, you know, what happened, you know, what possibly happened to Mr. Thomas recently. But once again, they continue to put out their narrative, you know, just like they did with Jaheim recently. When I started really posting it on Facebook, they came back and said, oh, we found more evidence. We got blood. We found blood upstairs in the room. You know, and then I spoke with the chief investigator for the district attorney's office and asked him why he would do that. Oh, I didn't know anything about it. But see, that's just how dirty they are, because I got information that they don't know, because we work from two sides of the street. I don't work with, you know, the people that talk to me, you know, yeah, they get compensated for it, but they come and talk to me, though, you know. And so, they know the truth. These are people that are afraid to come up and talk and speak their truth. So, you know, we just go on things like that. But let me just give you this last one. And I just want to speak on it. I know that Tory Lowe is following this case closely with Mr. Thomas, the most recent death in police custody. That's really shocking to me as we look at the video and see that, you know, they drove his car off. Why would you take him out, put him in the car, and all of a sudden you guys got his car and it's gone as well? I don't condone violence. I don't condone, gun violence. I think it's crazy. You can resolve your conflict. But you know I do. If I had on a hat, I'd take it off and I'd bow it down to that young man who went up into the 5th District and did what he did as a result of, you know, his friend being killed. I don't agree that he did it, but I understand why he did it. Our leaders are sleeping.
I definitely do not agree with, you know, him doing that. You know, I really don't.
Yeah.
I know he had a mental illness, and that was once again. I wish he would have reached out for help. You know, instead of shooting, going in and shooting at in the police department. So that should never be done.
Let's get real on that though, for real. You know, everybody's telling us so bad that they do it. 5 deaths that they ain't accounted for yet. They say, oh, it's so bad that they do it. We got numerous complaints about abuse every day and nobody does anything about it. It's so bad that
what about Milwaukee Fire and Police Commission, Mr. Anderson? I know they're just
you know,
a waste of community fund. I mean, the city of Milwaukee funds.
You know what the problem is they all eat off the same cow. They can tell us about what goes on in the black community because, you know, it's all about money at the end of the day. And if you take a bite out of crime, you're going to take a bite out of somebody's pocketbook, and they're not liking that. Now, in terms of these goofballs who are sitting up here, you know, with this authority, with limited authority they have, they can care less what happens to our community. This has been going on, as the brother said, for years. Listen, and the only way that we're going to shut children down if we shut them down. Only way we're going to stop the police from doing what they're doing is we fire everybody there. Everybody. Get them out of there. You know, and not
well,
only
you know,
there, but we have to try.
I'm going
to
say, I said this to you on the phone before the program. I know there needs to be some paperwork filed with the Biden administration because Biden's administration are going into cities and they're doing something with these corrupt police stations. So if you have the proof, then I feel that you should file some paperwork so that they can investigate the Milwaukee Police Department.
You know what? That might be, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that might be all well and good, but you think that's going to change anything, how police come in our neighborhood and give us the negative treatment that they do? You think a piece of paper is going to stop them by having these attitudes towards black citizens in predominantly black neighborhoods?
Well, some kind of way we have to bring about change, Mr. Jones and Mr. Anderson. And so I think the documentation is the key. Even if they don't make a big change now, it's documented, okay? It's documented. Someone's going to do some type of investigation because we can't have people just going out and shooting up police stations and doing things like
matter
that.
Of fact, that's what they want us to do. And I tell people, what you going to do about your family sitting up in prison? In some states, that's an automatic 5 to 10 years. Shooting up police station. That's a terrorist act. And they could call you a terrorist. They could call you a domestic terrorist. But these white boys, excuse me,
let me tell you,
there are other cultures that could walk around. Nah, I don't see like I'm prejudiced or anything. But there are other cultures that could walk around with AR-14 or AR-15s, shoot up people, and walk home the next day.
Right.
Matter of fact, their police
now, listen.
To their helmet.
Can I just interject something here real quick on why we shouldn't go to these people? Listen, my whole thing is, You know, when Milwaukee police mess up, they go to West Dallas. They all work together, right? So the police are not going to police the police. The police are not going to convict the police. That's what the district attorney's job is all about. You know, he's supposed to, he's not supposed to have a friendship with these people. He's supposed to hold them accountable, and he's not doing his job. And as far as sending things up to Biden, look at gas prices right now. Look at what's really going on. I travel this nation, all around this nation. Trust me, it's messed up. So their focus is so messed up. You know, they can't do anything for us. It's for us to do this. We have to make
Anderson, there's a word that you have for your group called accountability. We got to be accountable in our own communities. We got to change our own mindset. We got to have, I mean, it's a whole change around, you know, and we got to be accountable for ourselves. And we
I'm going to say this to both of you, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, as far as, you know, you saying, because you had said something, you know, kind of like putting down the Democrats who, you know, Democratic president we have now. Now, that I'm not going to go with, okay? Because,
that's not what I'm saying, though. That's not what I'm saying at all.
No, let me say this, because it can be, can be much, much worse with the Republican in charge. Okay.
I want
to respond to that. Now we got to select the lesser two evils, because historically, let's read our history. The Democrats or the Republicans don't give a shit about the black man in America.
Can I just put it to you like this, though?
No way.
Listen. That's not my opinion.
How long we been waiting for reparation? For 50 years?
Well, I'm on the other side of that. I'm on the other side of that
Can I take you, forgive me, to from this perspective right here? Let me just say it to it. You know, I'm ordered by the word, and I don't know how many of y'all follow the word, but I do. And I'm not afraid to talk about it. Listen, but the word told me to obey the governing authority, for there's no authority put there except by God. He never told me once in my, since the days I've been walking here in 55 years, that I needed to join a party, because he knew that the division, that it would cause. He knew what the people would turn against each other. He knew it already. And so therefore, I'm not sanctioned to do that. I don't put my faith in anybody when it comes to being out here right now. Everything that I do in every case I resolve had to do with the Lord. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. And now I know how the program is. Then let me just say this about these people when it comes to police. These are despicable white racists with violent intentions. That's exactly what they are. They sit there and claim to know God, or they have a form of godliness. This is why I'm really in this, because really I'm here to protect God's children and God's kingdom. I can care less about them, what party they belong to, because ultimately – we all going to die, and if something jumped off today, they would be preserved. They're not coming to your door to get you, and we have to know this. And see, we're fighting against a Republican Party. We already know what they're about. We already know who they are. We
know
what they can do.
Stand by you, but I'm going to say this now. I'm going to interject. Mm-hmm. Okay, there are many people in our communities who are not political. Mm-hmm. So when folks say, I don't go with either party, then these folks sit back and say, well, I'm just not going to vote then. And guess what? The other party gets in there, and we get somebody like Trump who wants to take us back to pre-civil rights era. So I'm not going to say that I am a true blue Democrat. I'm going to vote Democrat because I don't want any Republican. Hold on, I'm saying this, though. I want black urban America to understand where I'm coming from, okay? I do not want to go back to pre-civil rights era. Now, maybe the Democrats are not doing all that they want them to do right now, but I would go with a Democrat any day. So I'm not going to say that I'm not going to go with either party.
Here, what we don't want to go back to, we're already here. We're moving backwards in evolution. Okay. Take a look at our city.
You know what?
We're moving backwards in evolution.
You know what? You all want to just keep going back. Keep going back. Keep going back. Okay?
We have made
some steps forward. Okay? We have made some steps forward.
Individually, but not as a collective. Yes, we made some strides individually, but not as a collective group.
Well, like I said, there are some non-political folks out here, and I do not want them sitting out these elections, because we need every single vote.
I think the thing that we're missing here, we need our own agenda. We need our own agenda, and which it's been explored for the past 75 years. But we need to see the thing is when these parties come into our community versus going to other communities, they go ask for their vote. They come in our community and tell us who we gonna vote for.
I don't agree with that because you have a lot of people ask me for my vote
just like you ask the other individual for their vote.
Right.
And we did this in 1971. They tried to establish a black political party. We need to explore that again. And what's going on with our black political officials in D.C., the Black Caucus? Mm-hmm. I haven't heard anything from them.
Well, that's all about the media. That's the media. But you know, I'm going to let Mr. Anderson go back and talk because this show was about him and his issues.
You know,
but go on.
You stepped into my lane a little bit. Let me tell you something about the criminal justice system. The criminal justice system has never been a friend to the black man.
Of course not.
I don't care if you talk about Jersey, Wisconsin, New York, Texas, Georgia, California, Illinois. I don't care what you talk about.
I'm going to let Mr. Anderson continue on talking about his cases. I'm going to let you end the show. Yeah. Mr. Anderson, but I will say this. Wisconsin, you're right about the criminal justice system, because Wisconsin only has 6% black, and we have 42% black in the prisons. But I'm going to go ahead and let Mr. Anderson go ahead and speak about his cases. Okay, Mr. Anderson.
At the end of the day, we have these murders, and that's what I call them. That's exactly what they are. At the end of the day, every decision not to prosecute these cops is political. John Chisholm is an elected official. He can be removed from what he's doing. The thing that bothers me more than anything about John Chisholm, and these cases are very serious, and especially up in Dane County, you guys got to watch out up there. You got to keep your eyes open because they are dirty, very dirty. They still operate under the sundown law. In these cases, John Chisholm has a responsibility to the community because we elected him to do what is right. If he's failed to do his duty, then we got to get rid of him at the end of the day. It's never been fair for us.
You know how you can get rid of John Chisholm, and it's unfortunate that you have to go that route, because if he's showing racism, which he has, towards black folks, okay, just the black folks should be able to get him out. But see, you have to understand, there's a whole city of Waukesha that wants him gone, okay?
Well, see, here,
so you have to
here's the plan.
Folks get together on that, then you all can get him out.
Yeah, here's the plan. We're calling out 100,000 souls to come to Madison, Wisconsin, to discuss our discontent with the district attorney of Dane County and Milwaukee as well. One thing about the governor, and this isn't any political race, the votes matter. They are essential to their survival. If you're not hearing our voices, then, there's a likelihood that a lot of us ain't going to show up to the polls for you because you haven't been doing anything for us to begin with. John Chisholm is a threat to the black community. He is. The fact that he would laugh and say that black people's deaths don't get investigated like that is wrong. The fact that he would sit there and conspire to hold another, to incarcerate another advocate is wrong, morally wrong, and unjustifiable. At the end of the day, our goal is to get rid of this man. Our goal is to bring attention to what he's doing and also to bring these families some relief. I speak for Mr.
One problem I feel that in the black, that we have in the black community is that we do a lot of talking sometimes instead of filing paperwork and documents, regardless of Mr. Jones said. See, what needs to happen with John Chisholm is that he needs to have paperwork filed on him with the Wisconsin Ethics Agency, okay? Regardless of which way he goes.
Yeah, this is the whole thing of dealing with why me and the NAACP broke off. You know, you should have did press conferences when it all happened. That thing with Theodore,
right.
You should have been involved with that. Should have been. You should have stood up. None of these deaths have they stood up and said anything. So, you know, they lead us to believe that they're working on great things, but nothing has ever been done. So we do have to come together, file the necessary paperwork to get him up out of there.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I'm led to present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. That means I'm going to your door. And I'm going to be there, and we all going to be there. You're going to give us what we want. I'm not rooting for the Republican Party. What happened in Waukesha was a tragedy. It really was. But what happens in the black community on a daily basis is even equally tragic, you know, and nobody seems to care about that. And the reason why nobody cares about it is because our elected officials are not being held accountable. You spoke about the police and fire commission. They got it done. You know, and so that's just how it is. So if John Chisholm see that the NAACP is weak and not going to stand up, you know, he got them where he want them to be, boom, you know, they're not going to do nothing. John Chisholm messed up two things with me because I got a complaint from the county jail for somebody who'd been there for over 20 years who should have the office that his son, his 22-year-old son, is occupying right now. And so he's using his power and influence to advance his agenda and his family, and by at the same time, you're destroying us. You're using coercion, and you're saying coercion is legal, and you start laughing. Now, coercion is overbearing a will of a defendant. These young boys get put up here on this high bail. They don't know nothing about this system. Their lawyers ain't doing nothing for them. The first thing they do is plead guilty because they want to go somewhere else, get something else to eat, and hopefully move on up out that system. And John Chisholm know this. Nobody questions them. I watched the judge, and I'll leave it at this. I watched the judge Hanahan in Milwaukee Court when Marcus Hill, who was beaten by police. There's no evidence to show that he was police. He told the judge about it. The judge went into a big rant, started yelling and screaming, took his lawyer, who ain't did nothing on the case in 2 years, to the back room, then came back and told Marcus, well, I'm going to let him go, but you're still going to go to trial. And, you know, if you win, you go home. If not, and I'm not going to be too happy for you. You issued a threat right there. We have another judge on the bench right now.
I'm going to say this, and it's the same thing that I said to the mother that we had on about her son, okay, that we have to try to see this through. Folks have to see these things through. We can't just keep complaining about things. There is a judicial review, a complaint system. Now, everything you just said that this judge did, okay, can be filed, regardless of where it goes or what happens, it was filed. And see, that's just like in the black community sometimes, we keep going over the same pothole, tearing up our cars every day. But no one takes the time to call the number so they can come and fix the pothole. And no one takes the time to fill out the paperwork so someone can come and fix the pothole. So we have to start taking a stand in that way.
Okay.
But go on.
We're going to deliver 60,000 signatures to the governor's office, demanding investigations for all of this and the removal of John Chisholm, as well as an investigation into the Dane County District Attorney. So we're going to present that to him ourselves.
Those are the types of actions that we have to take instead of going in and shooting up the police station. And see, that's good. That's a positive step. That's a proactive step. Getting 60,000 signatures, just like we're going to recall these NPS board members. Getting 60,000 signatures and taking it up there, saying remove this man. Those are the types of steps we need to start taking.
Got to do it now.
We can go out there
so bad before you. Yeah, you before you even file on them, just make sure you got everything in order. Get all your signatures now so you ain't got to wait for all that.
Absolutely.
You know, but then when you go
Absolutely.
To file them. Yeah. You know, because this, see, they expect us to talk. See, words are nothing but noises. It's the person with the power who determines what the meaning shall be. They know we just going to talk a good game. They know we just going to argue and argue and argue. Well, I don't know what they know about everybody else, but I'm not on that. I'm not on kissing your butt. I'm not doing anything. Here's my philosophy. The slave who was supposed to, the master who was supposedly independent, depend on the slave for his very means of existence. The slave who was supposedly dependent upon the master finds that he is now in control of his life in which the master no longer is. So in the language of justice, it is the slave that deserves recognition. We're going to speak our truth. We're going to get y'all up out of there. We're not going to play with y'all. It ain't going to be another year of old lagging and let's talk to them. No, we're going to keep you before the media. We're going to let your people who do your dirty work bring you up out of there. That's what we plan to do.
Good.
Keep on
good.
Sounding the drum.
Yeah.
Keep on beating that drum until you hurt.
Yeah. We ain't just this ain't even about talking no more. Listen, I'm beyond talking.
Find another strategy. Keep on doing these strategies until something works. You only got a couple more minutes.
It's about taking action. It's about taking action. And I'm glad that Mr. Anderson said that one of the actions they're taking is getting 60,000 signatures. I'll sign it. Getting 60,000 signatures and taking it up to Madison.
We're going to drop it off ourselves. What's the difference? The whole plan is to bring the whole family.
Right, and
then have a whole day of it. You hear what I said? Bring the whole family.
Right.
We're going to have a whole day of it up there. And I want to thank you both for allowing me to be here, but I want to also just say to the families who are affected by all this stuff that we're dealing with, our current situation is not our final destination. The best is yet to come. You just got to keep on being faithful, keep on trusting God, and knowing that God is going to lead us to where we need to be. And as far as you, Ms. Beverly, I just want to say it to you. Martin Luther King said it, that no lie can live forever. God said it out of his own mouth, that there's nothing that has been hidden that will not be uncovered. You're doing that. Keep on doing the work. Forget about what everybody else has to think and all the negativity, because I'm proud of you, and I thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. With that, I thank you for what you're doing, Mr. Anderson.
Amen.
I thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I thank you too, Mr. Jones.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Mr.
For giving
Jones.
Us
and thank you for your service, and y'all keep on, like I said, you know, you keep on finding a strategy that works, just don't stop.
Right.
That's right.
That's it.
And always live knowing every day you wake up that failure is not an option. If you believe that, you can achieve the impossible. We do it every
that's
day
right.
over here.
All right, folks,
and
that's
I want
it for this week. And you know, we got in the show. It's been interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, a lot of things going on in Wisconsin. We got to keep an eye on that
street. The most segregated
states
in the nation.
Yes. Okay, folks. I see you next week. Everybody have a good week and be safe out there. Like always, I am because we are because I am. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Okay.